V'ein tzarich leimer kavanas ha-mitzvahs l'shman. Not to mention one's intention in performing a mitzvah, that it should be done for the sake of connecting with Hashem. And this sometimes also requires a great battle. And Alter Rebbe continues, example number 2, V'chein b'inyin esek limudat Torah. Similarly, in the matter of one's occupation in learning Torah, lilmed harbe yaseh mechefze ritzayne lefitiv regilusay, to study far more than what is demanded by his innate or accustomed desire, ayidei melchama tzumayim gufay, which can come about only through a mighty battle with his body. Ki haloi made ma'at yaseh mitivay, for to learn just a fraction more than is one's nature, harezu melchama ktana, that entails but a minor tussle. Ve'ein la erech v'dimyon im melchemes hayetzer abayir keish. It neither parallels nor bears comparison with the war against the person, the Jew's impulse, which burns like fire. The mikri dasha gamor, for which he is nonetheless called utterly wicked, im eine menatzeach yitzle, if he does not conquer his impulse, liyes nichna v'nishba mepnei Hashem, so that it be subdued and crushed before Hashem. Similarly, is with this person, who might even be a benini, when it comes to his areas, just as when it comes to his life. You are forced to define him as a Rasha. Why? Because he was weak. The definition of Rasha in Tanya is a weak man. He didn't have the courage to overcome his temptation. He didn't have the braveness to say no to his impulse. He didn't put up an awesome fight for his God. Similarly, the Alter Rebbe says, look at yourself. If I am ready just to learn a little more than my nature, that requires just a small struggle. That I'm ready to do. But if I'm unready to learn much more than that which my nature dictates, it means that in the face of a real battle, where there is real resistance, I'm too unready to surrender my ego to Hashem when the ego is challenging me. So I am just as weak as my fellow Jew. Now, lest you think that my reluctance to fight and surrender my ego is only in the realm of the positive, versus his reluctance to fight is in the realm of the negative. So how can I, in all honesty, compare my own shortcomings to those of the light-headed and sinful Jew? So the Alter Rebbe continues, what difference is there between the category of turning away from evil and the category of doing good? Hakoli mitzvahs ha-melech ha-kadosh yachid u-meyuchad baruch. All of it are the mitzvahs of the Holy King, the only and unique one, blessed be He. So the failings of the observant individual in the quality of his positive behavior is comparable to the transgressions of the light-headed and apathetic individual. He's not ready to surrender his ego in negative realms, and he's not ready to surrender his ego in positive behavior. But essentially, is there a real difference? And this, the Alter Rebbe emphasizes, we have to remember this. We cannot judge people superficially and define ourselves vis-a-vis other people superficially. It's unfair. We must look at the inner components of man's psyche. And then you'll come to realize a whole new world. Ich bin nicht besser, du bist nicht besser. So don't be fast on passing judgment and looking down at this person with disgust and disdain. Again, I emphasize, Alter Rebbe is, of course, emphasizing in the beginning of the chapter, and I'm emphasizing again, this doesn't have to do with it being just what he's doing, and it's not an excuse, and so on and so forth, like discussed before. But that judgmentalism is an objective one. The person did something wrong. The person failed. The person succumbed. It's not a subjective one. And Alter Rebbe concludes his third example. V'chein b'shar mitzvahs. V'chein b'shar mitzvahs. And so too with other mitzvahs requiring a struggle. Or befrad b'davar shebemamein. Especially in matters involving money. K'gayin avaydes hatzdako kai gavna. Such as the service, the labor of charity, and the like. Money has a strong hold on us. Money, it says Taka, that gelt is begematria blotta. The numerology of the word gelt, money in Yiddish, is the same as the word blotta, which means mud. But that's good for the world of gematrias. In the practical world, money is a very powerful component of our lives. So here the Alter Rebbe tells the Jew, it's difficult for you to be humble in the presence of another Jew. Let's examine ourselves in that area. I can give a little tzedakah. I can part with a little money. But what about giving a sum which evokes deep resistance from my ego and my animalistic consciousness? Similar to that resistance that this Jew has to do his mitzvahs and to avoid his averus. Do I wage the war that I expect from him to wage? Not necessarily. You're bringing up another type of judgmentalism that comes from deep insecurity and a very shaken self-confidence and sense of self, and thus a person who must find the lowliness in other people in order to justify his own existence. That is indeed an unhealthy stage, and that's connected to the other issue you brought up before about other people's flaws being a reflection of your own. But here the Alter Rebbe is talking about another type of judgmentalism, the judgmentalism we described above. And now the Alter Rebbe continues. He adds more. If one examines himself honestly, he will discover much more than the above, even in the realm of violating Hashem's will, even in the realm of Sur Meirav, engaging in negative deeds. He may too fall very short in the case where a real struggle is involved. Even in the category of turning away from evil, of avoiding negative behavior, every thinking man can discover within himself that he does not turn completely and totally away from evil. Bakel with everything, Mikel from everything, Koil everything. He also doesn't turn away totally from negative behavior in the case where there is real resistance to that avoidance. And Alter Rebbe explains, but Makim Shitzarich Lamulchamat Sumakarachanal. In a situation requiring a battle of the magnitude described above. Vafilu Paches Meyarachanal. Furthermore, even in a situation requiring a battle of a lesser magnitude, nevertheless, so often we fail to avoid such behavior just because it's so difficult. And he gives several examples. Going, for instance, lahafzig beemtza sichana, to stop in the middle of a pleasant gossip. I sipur bignus chavedir, to stop in the middle of relating a tale, discrediting his fellow. Even if it's a very slight slur, and even if it be true, and even though his purpose in relating it is to exonerate himself, nevertheless, this is contrary to how a person should behave. to what our soul is really all about. But it's very, very difficult. We all know the struggle involved when we are in the middle of listening to a geschmacka piece of gossip, especially if it's about someone we know. To interrupt ourselves or to interrupt the other person is difficult. It's not as powerful as the other Jew's strong impulses, that Jew whom we are so fast to pass judgment about. But it's still difficult to pull away ourselves from it. And often we don't stop, although that is what our real soul, what our godly soul needs and wants. Even if it's something, as Dr. Rebbe says, it's a slight slur. Even if it's true. Even if the purpose is not to blame someone else, but to defend myself, since it's pleasant, and since it's difficult to avoid it, we can succumb often to the unhealthy urge of even subtle slander. As is known from what Reb Shimon said to his father, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, I did not write it, Yehuda the tailor wrote it. Yehuda chayata kosve, Yehuda the tailor wrote it. V'amalei, and his father replied, klach m'lashon hara, keep away from lashon hara, from slander. Ein sham b'gemara reish perek yudah baba basra. Look in Gemara, Masechta Baba Basra, the beginning of chapter 10. Masechta Baba Basra, daf kuf samach dalet amid beis, in the 10th perek, the Gemara relates the following tale. There was a certain problematic document that was improperly written, and it came before Rabbeinu HaKadosh, our Holy Rebbe, which is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the author of the Mishnah. Upon examining the document and discussing it with his son Reb Shimon, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Gemara says, eyed his son disapprovingly, because he disapproved of these types of documents. So Reb Shimon told his father, Lava Nakasve, I didn't write the document. Yehuda Chayat, Reb Yehuda Chayat Kasve. Reb Yehuda the Chayat wrote it. When Rabbeinu HaKadosh heard this, he said, Klach M'Lashon Hara, desist from L'Shon Hara. So notwithstanding the fact it was a very slight and minor slur, it was true, it wasn't false. And its purpose was exclusively self-vindication. Nevertheless, Rabbeinu HaKadosh replied, Klach M'Lashon Hara. So these are issues that, relative to the Kal Shebekalim, they're very noble and moral. But nevertheless, the Alter Rebbe says, in your life, you know that this is antithetical to a true spiritual godly lifestyle. But it's very difficult. And since it's very difficult, we fall prey to it. Just as the other Jew, the light-headed Jew, falls prey to things that are difficult for him to avoid. That's what Alter Rebbe says. Ukahai gavne kama milid shechituv. The same applies to very many similar things which occur frequently. He doesn't have to enumerate it. Everyone can examine his own life. One will find that he does not resist his impulse as he ought to. Let's conclude. This is especially true with regard to sanctifying oneself in permitted matters, which is a biblical commandment. As it says in Sefer Vayikra, Kadoshim tiyu v'goyimer, you shall be holy, etc. V'iskadishtem v'goyimer, sanctify yourselves, etc. And according to many opinions, it's a biblical commandment, not just to avoid prohibitions articulated in the Torah. Even in that which is permitted, there is the obligation that a Jew should sanctify himself in the permissible. Even those components and elements of life that are permissible to us, a Jew's purpose in this world is to live a transcendental life. That every act, every component of life should be imbued with a transcendental, noble purpose. So even in that which is permitted, we must sanctify ourselves. And Alter Rebbe says this is a biblical commandment. Moreover, even according to the opinion that it's a rabbinic one, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Peches, and in other places, that rabbinic enactments are from a certain point of view even stricter than biblical laws. And here we can certainly often find ourselves falling short in it. because this is truly difficult. Ella, it's just shekol elu v'kayetze behen. All these and similar matters, ein me'avinus adam dosh ba'akavav, are among the sins which people trample underfoot. Some of you might be listening to these words of the Alter Rebbe or reading these words of the Alter Rebbe and says, the Alter Rebbe found little loopholes in our lives. We might think, if we behave this way, we can be considered great tzaddikim. The Alter Rebbe says, true, the reason you disregard it is because these are things that people trample underfoot. We deem them l'chatchila insignificant, for whatever reason, valueless, and therefore we disregard it. It's nothing. V'gam, another reason why we might disregard it is nasu kehetem achmashav v'shana v'chuli. It sometimes comes to be regarded as permissible because they are committed repeatedly. The Gemara says in Yumed Af Peivav that when a person commits a sin and he repeats it, for him it becomes as something which is permissible. Sometimes the shock, the conscience, the inhibition that we have prior to committing a sin, if you do it enough times, it's removed. So therefore, we may disregard our soul and follow our impulses in all of these cases. Avol be'emes. But in truth, whatever the excuse may be, before we continue, Vita, whatever the excuse may be, we are dealing here with an unreadiness on this person's part to get into the battle ring for God, to truly fight our nature and impulse. So here we come back to the same point. Can I feel superior in the presence of another Jew, even if I'm sure that my behavior is so much refined than his? Can I assume myself to be closer to God, closer to truth, closer to my soul than he is? With what right can I make such an assumption? And here the Alter Rebbe drives home point C, why I should feel humble in his presence. Avol be'emes, in truth, however, im hu yodei ha-sefer, if he is a scholar, I cannot sefer. He knows how to learn. He learns Torah. U'marzik b'Torah Hashem, and he upholds Hashem's Torah. V'kiv es alekim yechbutz, and he wishes to be close to Hashem. God el avay neimin nesay, his sin is unbearably great. Vashma say God lo bekifle kiflayim, and his guilt is increased manifold. Bamesh einin nilchem umizgabed al yitzrei be'erech upchinas melchama tzumahanal, for is not waging war and not overcoming his impulse when he is faced with the powerful war described above, the same war that the simple Jew must often face. When he doesn't overcome that battle in those areas where he ought to overcome the war, it's much more negative. And it's much more painful than when his fellow man doesn't triumph in the battle. His guilt in not prevailing and triumphing is greater. May Ashmas Kalsha Bekalim Yoshvikranus than the guilt of the Kalsha Bekalim, the worthless and light-headed Jew. Me Yoshvikranus, who is one of the street corner squatters, Arachaikim Hashem Viterasa, who are remote from Hashem and his Torah. Their guilt for not summoning up the fear of Hashem, who knows and sees all their actions, in order to restrain their impulse which burns like a fiery flame, their guilt is not as heinous. Ka'ashmas kol ha'karev ha'karev el Hashem v'el teirasev avedose, as the guilt of the one who draws ever nearer to Hashem and to his Torah and to his service. U'kama sh'amru razal gabayache, sh'yada b'chvoidi v'chuli, as our sages of blessed memory said concerning the man Achen, because he knew my glory, etc. The Gemara Mesichta Chagiga Daf Tesvav tells the tragic story of the great Tana, Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya was the Rebbe of Reb Meir, and he was one of the four who entered into the mystical transcendental orchard together with Ben Azai and Ben Zayim and Reb Akiva. The Gemara says in Chagiga in the second Perek that Ben Azai passed away. Ben Zayim went insane. Reb Akiva was the only one who came out, entered into peace, and came out in peace. Elisha ben Avuya became an apostate. So the Gemara in Chagiga that Elisha ben Avuya heard a baskail, a voice from heaven, Shuvu bonim shevavim chutz meyachir. Return, children who have gone astray. Return, repent. Besides Acher. In Yerushalmi in Chagiga, the story is told that it was Yom Kippur, which came out on a Shabbos, and he was driving on his horse in back of the Beis Hamikdash, in back of the area of the Beis Hamikdash. And he heard a baskal come out from the chamber of Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, that everyone should do tshuvah, Yom Kippur besides Acher. So the Gemara says, Acher said, if I'm anyway not going to be able to experience Elam Haba, might as enjoy Elam Haza. Make the best out of this world. And he abandoned the path of Yiddishkeit. So the Gemara explains, it's actually in our Gemaras these words are missing, but it's that guy Sabach inserts it, and in Ein Yaakov it says it, that the Baskel continued, Shuvu bonim sheivavim chutz mei acher sheyada kvaydi umarat bi. Because Acher is unique. Acher knew about my reality. Acher knew what true godliness and spirituality is. Achid had a profound appreciation of what it means to live a healthy, true life. So when Achid declares such a war on his soul, when Achid spits his soul in the face, when Achid denies God in such a powerful way, it's so much more painful, it's so much more tragic, it's so much more difficult than when another human being does it. Therefore, our sages declared in regard to the Ameya Aretz, the common people of the land, that their deliberate sins, their willful transgressions, are regarded as inadvertent acts. The Gemara says this in Baba Metzia Daf Lamed Gimel, the difference between Talmidei Chacham and Ameya Aretz. Torah scholars, even their unwillful, their inadvertent transgressions are deemed as willful transgressions. By Amei Aretz, by the common people, especially by the illiterates, the Gemara says the opposite. Even their willful transgressions are considered by Hashem to be like unwitting transgressions, because their lack of learning prevents them from realizing the true significance of their actions. So even though they're performing prohibitions which they are aware of, but they perform it with the same careless attitude as if they wouldn't have known that it's a prohibition. In contrast to the Torah scholar. So the Alter Rebbe says, when the learned Jew, who may have reached his spiritual zenith like a Beinoni, does not fight for his soul in those areas where he has to fight, it's far worse than when the simpleton falls prey to his impulse. When he must think, who is sensitive to spirituality, when I fail to muster my strength and to do the right thing, it's far worse than when the Kal Shebekalim, when the street corner squatter, when the insensitive person who doesn't get it, who doesn't really have an appreciation for it, falls prey. And with this approach to life, the Alter Rebbe says, you can indeed come to feel yourself and experience yourself honestly, in a humble way. You can truly be humble in the presence of every human being. It's a beautiful way to live, but it's a true way to live. Conclude with a story. Rabbi Hillel Paritcher, Rabbi Hillel of Paritch, he was the rabbi of his city of Paritch, an extraordinary Torah scholar and Kabbalist. He was one of the many great scholars to join the Chabad Hasidic movement at the time. Prior to him joining the movement, he was a very achieved, accomplished Torah scholar and pious man. And afterwards, he joined Chabad. He became a faithful pupil of the second and third Rebbes of Chabad, the Mittler Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. As a young man, Reb Hillel heard already about the Alter Rebbe. And he was eager to meet him. But for some reason, the opportunity always eluded him. He heard that the Alter Rebbe came to a certain town. No sooner did he arrive in that town and ready to go see the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe left the town. It happened time and time and time again. As much as he would try to encounter, to see the Alter Rebbe's holy face, the opportunity kept on eluding him. Finally, he decided he's going to see the Alter Rebbe. He found out about the place where the Alter Rebbe is going to travel. And he traveled there before the Alter Rebbe arrived, but he already didn't trust nature. He didn't trust Mother Nature. So he found out in which home the Alter Rebbe is planning to stay. And the day the Alter Rebbe was about to come to the city and to that home, he went into the home and he creeped into the room that was reserved for the Alter Rebbe, and he went under the bed. He hid under the bed, determined at last to make the acquaintance of the Alter Rebbe. Now, since he wasn't a chassid yet, so he thought that at his first meeting with the Alter Rebbe, he has to leave a good, powerful impression. He didn't realize that a true encounter of a chassid and a rebbe is about total honesty and total vulnerability and total openness. He was a gun. He was a great Torah scholar. So he prepared, he armed himself with an extraordinary question. A very powerful question in Gemara. The Alter Rebbe was known as one of the greatest sages of his generation. The greatest Gaonim of his generation. At the time, Reb Hillel was studying Mesichta Erkin, a tractate called Erkin. Erkin is appraisals. It's a section in Gemara which deals with the laws of how to appraise the value of one's pledge to charity. And Reb Hillel was learning that Masichta. He had a very insightful question on the subject which he has diligently studied. And he was ready, he prepared it to discuss it with the Rebbe. From his hiding place, he realized that he succeeded. He heard the Alter Rebbe entering into the room. He was ready to jump out of his hiding place and say, Rebbe, I'm here. Present his question. But before he could make a move, he suddenly heard the voice of Alter Rebbe. Alter Rebbe would always communicate through a melody. Alter Rebbe, there was no speaking without a melody. because, as the Alter Rebbe said, words are the pen of the mind, and a song is the pen of the soul. So in a melody, in a tune, the Alter Rebbe said in Yiddish the following words, with the following melody. If a young man has a question regarding Erkin appraisals, he must first evaluate himself, appraise himself. He'll faint it. By the time he woke up, Alter Rebbe left the city. Short time after the Alter Rebbe passed away, so Reb Hillel never saw the Alter Rebbe. Reb Hillel heard the Alter Rebbe. The Rebbe once told a story, asking the question, "What is the meaning behind Alter Rebbe's words? Why, if you have a kasha mesichta erkin, must you first evaluate yourself?" Understandingly, Alter Rebbe was addressing him individually. Reb Hillel has reached great spiritual heights, but relative to what true godliness and spirituality is in light of what has been illuminated in the teachings of Chabad Chassidus, Reb Hillel still had to fight and had to grow and had to develop himself. So the Alter Rebbe says, when you have a kasha mesichta erkin, first appraise yourself. But nevertheless, judging the Alter Rebbe's words objectively, it requires clarification. Why, if I have a question in that tractate, must I first evaluate myself? So the Rebbe explained as follows. What is the central theme of Masechta Erkin? It basically discusses the laws and Parshas B'chukosai, where the Torah says that if a person pledges to give a certain amount of money to charity, but instead of citing a sum, I want to give $100, $1,000, $100,000, he says, I promise to give the value of this individual. I promise to give to the Beis Hamikdash, let's say, or to charity, the value of David Sandik. Or of another individual. What is his value? So the Torah says that we are to follow a fixed rate. It's a fixed rate table which is set forth by the Torah, in which each age and gender group is assigned a certain value. For example, for a male from 5 to 20 years of age, you contribute 20 silver shekel. From 20 to 60 years of age, 50 silver shekel. From 60 and up, 15 shekel. From 1 month to 5 years, 5 shekel. The deeper meaning in Alter Rebbe's words is, when you have a question in the tractate of appraisals, a question that encompasses the whole concept of this law articulated in Torah, it seems very unfair to employ a flat rate which lumps together so many diverse individuals. Every person from the age of 20 to 60, 50 silver shekel. That can include a great, extraordinary, pious, scholar, spiritual, lofty, abstract, holy man, and it can include a kalsha b'kalim, what he might view as a despicable, lowly, insensitive, apathetic, alien, abhorrent Jew. Should not an accomplished scholar be considered more valuable than a simple laborer? You're comparing me to him. You're giving us both the same value. I'm so much greater. I'm so much loftier than him.
If you have a question regarding appraisals, you find the difficulty to relate to the Torah's evaluation of human worth, you had best to take a long, deep, hard and honest look at yourself. If I look at myself and I view my efforts and my challenges, and then I look at the other person and I look at what he has to go through, and I look at the inner dynamics of his psyche and of his soul, I will come to learn that him and I and all of us are in the same boat. Have a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.